Welcome to Outbeat Collage, Out in the Arts. I'm Gary Carnevale, and I'm here with Greg Maraglia. We have a great show lined up for you tonight. We'll chat with Alan Chivins, the store manager of FFT Antiques and Collectibles, who will tell us all about the store and offer some last-minute gift ideas. Later, we'll speak with photographer Michaela Kennan about her work and life as an artist. We'll also spin some new holiday music. First up, here's Greg with Outbeat Radio news and calendar.
Good evening, this is Greg Maraglia with your Outbeat Radio news for Sunday, December 19th, 2010. In national news, Timothy Ray Brown claims he's been cured of HIV after a stem cell transplant. Brown was diagnosed with HIV in 1995, but was hit again in 2006 when he found out he had leukemia. When chemotherapy proved to be too harsh on Brown's body, his doctor suggested stem cell therapy. Weeks after the 2007 transplant, Brown did not show any signs of HIV in his bloodstream. Another bout with leukemia subjected Brown to more chemotherapy, but nearly 2 years after his treatment, Brown still shows no sign of the virus in his bloodstream. And on a related note, a drug company has been given approval by the Food and Drug Administration to market an HIV test that provides results in just 60 seconds. Biolytical Laboratories tests will allow results in 1 minute, whereas most rapid tests take about 15 to 30 minutes. Biolytical Laboratories President Philip Bly said, "We believe the speed, accuracy, and unique technology of our 60-second HIV test will make the testing and early treatment of HIV/AIDS more efficient in all patient settings, including hospitals, emergency rooms, and public health clinics." And here in the Bay Area, late gay rights pioneer Harvey Milk accomplished many things in the city of San Francisco and arguably for the gay community across the country. Many of his grassroots efforts were run from his photography shop in the Castro District in San Francisco. In the years since Milk's life was taken, several retailers have occupied the space, but now the Human Rights Campaign is moving in. The problem, however, is that Milk's cohorts say the organization does not honor their slain friend's legacy. Longtime activist and friend Cleve Jones said, "I think it's completely inappropriate for the simple reason that the HRC represents the antithesis of Harvey Milk's organizing strategy." Jones told The Advocate Monday that he's in talks with a local chapter of the HRC as well as representatives from the national group in an attempt to reconcile their visions for the space. And here in Sonoma County, the Russian River Sisters announced last week that they've taken over the planning of next year's Sonoma County Pride events. The Sonoma County Pride Planning Committee, which operated under the fiscal umbrella of Positive Images, has handed over the reins after 5 very successful years. Several of the Sonoma County Pride Planning Committee members were also members of the Russian River Sisters, and the succession seemed a logical move. Sister Scarlett Billows, Sister Demand a Refund, and novice Sister Surrenda Dabuti will continue working on Pride events. Sister Scarlett Billows and Sister Sarah Femme Fatale will serve as co-chairs. The sisters invite everyone to be part of the planning process. Sister Scarlett said, "I think the main benefit of the sisters taking over is our solid base of volunteers who will help plan and produce Pride 2011. We have lead nuns who will chair the committees, and we welcome all suggestions from the community, which we will synthesize into an event that reflects the character of Sonoma County's LGBTQI community." Sandy Mama Reinhardt has accepted the committee's invitation to act as one of this year's Grand Marshals. The founder of Mama's Family, Reinhardt, is being honored for her many charitable works, including the annual toy drive and breast cancer gala. Mama's Family, through fundraising or through volunteerism, raises over $2 million annually. In a press release, the sisters thanked outgoing Sonoma County Pride Planning Committee members Nancy Vogel, Lori Chandler, Robert Mueller, Vanessa Argabright, Cheryl Adam, and all those who have taken part in the planning and production of Sonoma County Pride events. Charles Metz will continue in his role as chair of the committee that produces Pride's interfaith service. The sisters have also announced Sonoma County Pride, a celebration of Sonoma County's LGBTQI community, friends, and family, will happen on Sunday, June 5th, 2011, from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. Guerneville will once again be the setting of the annual Pride and celebration. The celebration will happen on the riverfront lawns of the Guerneville Lodge. The 5th annual Pride Comedy Night will also be part of Pride. Robin Bramhall and Ellen Silver of We Mean It Productions have confirmed that Saturday, June 4th, 2011, to be the date for the show, which will happen once again at the Wells Fargo Center of the Arts in Santa Rosa. The Sonoma County Pride website includes more information about the upcoming 2011 event and details about how everyone can get involved. For more information, go to www.sonomacountypride.org. And if you'd like more information and details about other events happening in and around Sonoma County, check out www.gaysonoma.com. If you have an event you would like to share with our listeners on the news, you can tell us about it by going to our website at outbeatradio.com. Just click on Outbeat News. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Outbeat Collage with Gary Carnevale and Mark Prell.
How many nights for Hanukkah? Happy, joyous Hanukkah. Nights and days, days and nights. Happy, joyous Hanukkah. Eight of the nights of Hanukkah. Happy, joyous Hanukkah. Eight of the days and eight of the nights. Happy, joyous Hanukkah. So happy Hanukkah. Eight for the new built doctor place. Happy joyous Hanukkah.
Eight of the nights of Hanukkah. Happy joyous Hanukkah.
That shines, happy, joyous Hanukkah. Around this whole wide world tonight, happy, joyous Hanukkah.
Mine is for God's light that shines, eight for the new built altar place,
seven for the sons of Hannah that died,
six for the kings and the tricks they tried,
five for the brothers Maccabee,
four for the Hebrew children,
three for the books that Ezra taught,
two for the father and mother love,
and one for the Moses on the mount.
Eight of the nights of Hanukkah, happy, joyous Hanukkah.
That was the Indigo Girls with Happy Joyous Hanukkah from their new holiday album, Holly Happy Days. Ellen Chibbins is the store manager of FFT Antiques and Collectibles, which is operated by Food for Thought, Sonoma County's AIDS food bank. He's come out in this stormy night to talk with us about the store and offer Outbeat Collage listeners some suggestions for last-minute holiday gifts. Welcome, Ellen.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Right. Talk about how Food for Thought came to own what was once Collective Spaces.
Yes, that was a real delight. It was a gift to the food bank from the estate of Randall Thompson. His thought was that he wanted to not only provide something for the food bank, but provide something that continued to provide support for the food bank. Mm-hmm. So we inherited the lease and his merchandise.
Wow.
Gave us a good running start.
Wow. Yeah. And when was that?
That was 3.5 years ago.
Okay. So, what was the value of the merchandise? Any idea? It's a big store.
It's a big store. 40,000. That's sort of a guess. In that business, it's always a little strange. I'm not sure there was a full inventory.
Right.
It was just sort of whatever was there.
Is there a fairly big stock room? Or?
No, I wish we had stock room. Yeah.
Everything is kind of out.
The good stuff
isn't in the back.
No. It's all out. And what we inherited was, as well as his merchandise, it's an antique collective, which we continue. So we have dealer space that we rent out. Hmm. The dealers pay the food bank rent, and they pay the food bank a percentage.
Oh, wow.
It all works to the food bank.
Hmm. And talk about the store's choice location.
We're very fortunate in that it's sort of the main corner of what used to be Antique Row.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's as many stores as there used to be, but it still is a prominent corner. We are right opposite the Antique Society, another antique collective, and there are three other antique stores within walking distance of our parking lot. So it's park once and go to all of the places.
Right, in Sebastopol.
In Sebastopol, south of town, between Bloomfield and Lone Pine.
And what's the address?
2701.
Great. So what makes FFT Antiques and Collectibles unique among other thrift stores operated by nonprofit agencies?
There's a couple of things that make it unique. One is that we do have the other dealers, so the range of merchandise is much bigger. And I think the second thing is that Food for Thought has a history of doing antique auctions, which we've done for 10, 12 years. And that has resulted in our getting incredibly good donations.
Mm.
And we really have been so fortunate in that, so that we're not a thrift store. We're not, you can't come and buy Tupperware and three old kitchen dishes.
Mm-hmm.
We have a full range of stuff, but it really is an antique and collectible store.
Right. Do they still sort of have that warehouse at Food for Thought in Forestville like they did a
few years that was kind of a garage sale kind
right.
of thing. No, we have, everything now gets directed
to
the store.
I remember donating a truckload of things from a garage sale and they said, we'll put it in here. And there was this giant warehouse.
Yes.
Like, wow, look at all this stuff.
Yes. No, we don't do that anymore.
Yeah. So you get it all.
We get it all, yes.
So describe the space itself. Is it sort of sectioned off into separate departments? Or
it is. It is about 3,200 square feet, so it's quite large. It's a big high-ceilinged warehouse kind of building. We have tried to open it up, so even though we have dealer spaces, it's not like separate rooms. We work very hard at making it displayed well and looking good and keeping things moved around, and that seems to work. So when you walk in, you walk into the center area, which is all Food for Thought's donated merchandise, and as you walk around, you go through vignettes of other dealers and then other areas that are Food for Thought.
Hmm. So how long have you been store manager, and what does that entail?
I've been store manager for 3 years. I started soon after we inherited the store.
Hmm.
And it entails a very long list of things. We do operate with volunteers, so I manage the volunteers. I also have two employees, so I do the hiring, firing, managing of that. I am responsible for certainly the cash register of all of the dealers, as well as Food for Thought. So there's a fair amount of bookkeeping that has to go on. It is my job to make sure the store looks good, to make sure the merchandise is displayed good. Also my job to deal with donors and select, pick up, help get delivered, decide what we're going to do. We also do consignment, where Food for Thought splits the value with the owner. So I manage that. I was out there today cleaning the gutters so we wouldn't get flooded.
Oh, wow.
It's the whole range.
Yeah.
As with any nonprofit effort, there's always more work and not quite enough people.
Hmm. What are the store's hours?
Stores open every day from 11 to 5, with the exception of Christmas and Thanksgiving, I think.
Would we be open Christmas Eve?
Absolutely, open Christmas Eve.
Yeah. No crazy midnight madness hours.
No. We have good prices all the time.
There you go. So tell me about the other vendors. Are they there in the store selling their things, or you?
No, we manage.
Okay.
We operate the store. They provide the merchandise. Mm-hmm. They do set up their own displays, but we have a really good range of things. We have one group that does mainly mid-century, so it's mid-century furniture, lamps, tables, chairs, sofas, ceramics, artwork. We have a book dealer. We have two book dealers. Mm. One of them is just wonderful with first editions, collectible American fiction, very well organized, very well presented. And then we have another book dealer that's more like a used bookstore. With thousands of books of all kinds of things. We have one that deals mainly in jewelry. We have some that just do funky little things that's kind of fun, but it is quite a range.
Wow. So how do people go about donating items to the store?
Donations. We love donations. They can just bring them into the store. They can call ahead of time. If they're not sure what we want, they can call ahead of time. Talk to me or to any of the other people who answer the phone. And there's not a specific day. We will take donations anytime.
That's great.
We are. We can be very helpful with people who are moving, downsizing, cleaning out that storage unit that you're paying too much money for. We also can do, this is a new venture for us, but we're doing it through the store, of estate sales, where we'll go on site and operate the sale. Run it through the store.
And the proceeds go
and
to
the proceeds,
food for
thought. Yeah,
wow, that's
go
a great
to
idea.
Food for thought.
That's a great idea. When did you start doing that?
We did our first one last March, which was very successful, and customer was very happy because not only do we sell all the stuff, but what doesn't sell then can come back to the store. So there's no like last minute fire sale.
Yeah,
we get good value for all of it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So do you do the pricing? Do you have a team?
It's a group effort. I do the pricing. I talk to a lot of people. I'm very fortunate to have two staff people who are very knowledgeable in different areas. And the other dealers that we deal with help us with that. And then there's the computer.
Right. the magical internet.
And it's always a challenge. The range of things we get is just amazing. So it's well beyond any one person's expertise.
So talk about some of those items that would make last-minute Christmas presents.
Well, we have... I was just thinking about what people were doing today because it was a Christmas shopping
day.
We were just jammed with people. The jewelry was a good one for Christmas gifts. We have vintage costume jewelry. We have earrings, bracelets, some older, some even 19th century.
Wow.
Some Native American, which is really nice. And cufflinks seem to be big this year. I guess French cuffs are back.
Right.
We got cufflinks. We have quite a bit of, especially for this time of year, entertaining china, crystal, silver plates, some sterling, teacups, tea sets, things like that. Some baccarat champagne flutes for New Year's Eve.
So talk about some of the prices, you know, pieces of china
it's a real range. Both in the age and quality and the value. We try and price things to sell.
To move.
Because it doesn't do the food bank any good to have something that's worth $100 that no one will pay $100 for. So we certainly want to make the most money we can. But we also want to keep things moving.
Sure.
So we try very hard to make it affordable. I I check other stores. I like to see what's around.
Sure.
I like to think we could be a little better
yeah.
in our prices than that. And since we get donations, we can make good money and still have low prices.
What else have you got?
Not exactly antique, but we did have an incredible donation of new DVDs and CDs, which have been very popular this year. We had probably 1,000 DVDs and
wow.
maybe 1,000 CDs. So those are going very fast at $5 a disc and $2 a CD. A lot of fun for that. We've got some great art pottery for collectors. We have a wonderful collection of Pillen from the 1970s. Also some Hager, some Weller right now. And the prices there would be from $25, $35 to
$3,000,
just depending on what,
sure.
what you were after.
Sure.
We have some automobile memorabilia kinds of things that are sort of fun. We have California license plates from 1920. We have a collection of bud vases from the 20s and 30s, crystal bud vases
oh,
from cars.
You never have too many.
Never have too many. And it's just that odd little thing, but somebody
sure.
will think that's a great gift if
yeah.
you're a car buff. That would really work. We do have some vintage clothing, which is fun, hats and aviator glasses from the 1940s, things like that,
yeah.
that can be good gifts.
And we were chatting about the Mark Rothko ornaments.
Christmas oh, and
ornaments.
We have a ton of ornaments, yeah. We really Christmased it up this year.
Wow.
We probably had 300 Radko ornaments and still have a really good selection left.
And you said in the boxes.
These were never opened.
Oh,
yeah,
amazing.
It was a collection that came to us still packed in boxes.
Yeah.
And again, we want to make money for the food bank, but we want to sell them. So the prices
sure.
are probably less than half of what they would be.
Because they can be really expensive.
They can be really expensive.
People buy with you.
Also, which is just an added plus for the merchandise that we own, we don't have to charge sales tax.
Oh.
Which saves 9%
mm-hmm.
and is very helpful.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a blip in the tax code that lasts for one more year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then because we sell, the proceeds go to a food bank for people with AIDS.
Right,
it's that specific.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we'll take full advantage of that.
Nice, nice. So how's business this year?
It's very interesting. It's much better than last year.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I got to keep
it's
thinking.
It's all you,
Alan. Is it all me? Yeah. but it has just been real busy. And we're probably 30% higher than we were last year at this time.
That's amazing in this economy.
It's amazing in this economy, and it's also amazing in that it wasn't one thing. It was small gift things. It was furniture. It was oak hall trees, dining room tables, sets of china, you know, weird little things that we get.
Sure,
So it hasn't been a single type of thing. It's just like something's happened. I think things are better.
Yeah. So you and your staff are there to help people select presents. If someone
Absolutely.
Comes up and says, I'm trying to buy for,
yeah.
you know, Uncle Joe, who's impossible to buy for.
And, absolutely.
And so you do the whole, yeah.
Well, and, you know, it's as big as the store is, it's crowded. We have a lot of stuff.
Right.
And you come in and I can see people's eyes kind of
glaze
over.
Sure.
We know what's there. We know what's stacked behind something else on that bottom shelf underneath this, underneath
right.
that. So when you come and talk to us, we can come up with some good ideas.
Great, great. Well, thank you for joining us, Alan.
Oh, absolutely.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Sure. Happy holidays.
Please come shop at Food for Thought Antiques.
Great. Give us the address again.
2701 Gravenstein Highway South.
Perfect. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks.
I really can't
but
stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go
but
away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you
so very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my mother will start to worry.
What's your
my
hurry?
Father will be pacing the
this
floor
to the fireplace.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Please don't
but maybe
hurry.
just half a drink
put
more.
Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might think
maybe it's bad out there.
Say, what's in
no
this dream?
To be had out there.
I wish I knew
your
how
eyes are like starlight
to
now.
Break this spell.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks well.
I ought to say no, no, no,
mind
sir.
If I move in
at
closer.
Least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out. Baby.
Oh, but it's cold outside. Simply must
but
go.
Baby, it's cold outside.
The answer is
but
no.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This welcome
how
has been.
How lucky that you dropped
so
in.
So nice and warm.
Look out the window at that
my
storm.
My sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
Waves upon the tropical shore.
My maiden aunt's mind is
ooh,
vicious.
Your lips are delicious.
But maybe just a cigarette
never
more.
Such a blizzard before.
I've gotta get
but
home.
But baby, you'd freeze out there.
Say, lend me a cup.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been
I'd glad. Thrill when you touch my hair.
But don't you see?
How can you do?
To be talked tomorrow.
Think of a lifelong
at least there will be plenty in play.
If you got pneumonia and
I really can't
get
stay.
Over that holdout.
Oh, but it's cold.
That was Glee cast members Chris Kofer and Darren Criss doing a fine gay version of Baby It's Cold Outside from Glee's latest release, The Christmas Album. You know, as this year draws to a close, KRCB Radio thanks each of our members for your gracious and continued support. When you give to KRCB, you create a space on the radio dial for artistic interpretation, independent and local voices, music from many genres, and the best of NPR national programs. During this season of giving, make a donation to KRCB, community-powered public radio for the North Bay. You can call 707-584-2000.
Michaela Kennan decided to pursue fine art photography after working in the wine hospitality industry for the last 10 years. Michaela chooses simple, uncluttered compositions that emphasize color, light, and form. She lives and works in Windsor. Michaela has exhibited her photography at numerous Sonoma County gallery shows and other establishments that offer artists a place to show their work. Welcome to Outbeat Collage, Michaela.
Thank you, Gary.
Talk about when you first became interested in photography.
Back in the early 70s, and I was blessed with a mother who was an artist as well, and I now credit her. She just passed a couple of months ago, and I've just all come to realize how very much she contributed probably to my early interest in artistic vision, because she would very typically just go out and find odd pieces of twig or dried flowers or funny-shaped rocks, and she'd say, look, let's make something out of this. Mm. And so very early on, that started my observational skills. And after I got out of high school and had a little bit of money, that's when I got my first camera.
And what was that? What kind of camera was that?
That was a 35mm Pentax SLR. And I thought I was pretty big stuff because it wasn't a point-and-shoot anymore. And that's really where I learned the camera fundamentals and really began to kind of develop what I was to discover many years later, my artistic vision.
Hmm. And you had a dark room?
I did have a dark room. It was a very crude, very basic basement setup, but I did a whole lot down there, and I did do pictures, or I shot pictures of families and small weddings and things like that. What was particularly interesting is a couple of years ago, I went back to visit my parents, and I saw some photographs on the wall that made me take a double take, and I realized that those were the same pictures that I had started taking back in the early 70s. So that was a real coming together and meeting myself and realizing that that's the crux of where it all started.
Hmm. Were there some photographers who inspired you at the time?
Not really. It was more or less just using the camera as a tool and focusing in on things that I saw with my eyes. And even then, it was the idea of trying to take pictures of simple things so that others could see them the way I saw them. And that could be anything like a shadow or a line. It could be a particular color, a design. Hmm. And most of it is the stuff that we see every day and just simply don't stop to look at. But if you freeze frame it in a photograph, there it is. And suddenly, once you look at it, you'll not ever be able to miss it again.
So do you often go back and look at those early works of yours?
Not too much. I realized I was doing then what I do now. Hmm. And that was the coming together and meeting myself and realizing that that is the common theme that I've carried with me all of these years.
And did you take courses or were you self-taught?
Pretty much self-taught. Hmm. Just following a lot of my own intuitive knowings. You have to learn camera technique, but mostly it's learning to manipulate the camera to get the results that you want.
Were you working in both black and white and color?
At that time, mostly black and white.
Mostly black and white.
And that's what the darkroom, it was a darkroom black and white setup.
Right.
And right. Color I just processed outside. Because that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah. So how are they different? Explain to our listeners how working...
Oh, different chemicals, different papers, different timing.
But as an artist?
Similar in that there are so many shades of black and white, you know, the gradations. And that's what makes a good black and white picture memorable,
right.
Is that you have accurate colors. You've got your white whites and your black blacks.
Right,
and
right.
All the subtle shades in between.
Mm-hmm.
Color is a whole different, you're dealing with a whole different part of the spectrum. And your color range is several times bigger, of course. And then in order to bring that out in a dark room or processing setting, then you've got to have the certain chemicals that will work together to give you the range. And then, of course, it's the kind of paper you use and exposure times and so many other. Digital has changed everything.
Yeah, sure. So when did you make the transition to digital? Early on or?
No. It was just about 4 or 5 years ago when the digital started becoming accessible to everybody.
Right.
It wasn't just...
And really good quality.
Yeah. And you could buy... I think our first camera was... My first camera was a PowerShot, Canon PowerShot. We paid $500 for it. And it was like 5 megapixels.
Wow. Right.
And now, you know, you can get 18, 20 megapixels and pay $1,000.
And what do you work with now? What camera?
It's a Canon.
It's still a Canon.
Yeah, still Canon product. And I like that because it's what I'm used to. And I work with a Canon Rebel, which is a smaller camera than the big EOS models.
That's what I have.
Do you?
Yeah.
They're nice cameras.
Yeah.
Great cameras.
Good to know.
And I have small hands, so they fit my hands well, too. And that's a consideration. When you've got a tool and you're out in the field, so to speak.
Right.
You don't want to be lugging 10 pounds of equipment around or 20, because that gets to be pretty bulky and cumbersome.
Sure.
So you want something that's going to give you the ability to shoot what you need to shoot on the spot when it happens, because timing is everything in photography.
Right. What a difference, I mean, that we've seen over, you know, 40 years or so. When it comes to photography, especially.
I love the digital aspect
of it. Oh, good.
And it's, again, with computers, there's a whole different skill involved in an art form in digital. And one of my pet peeves of recent has been more of the manipulation aspect, because there are some people who will Photoshop in effects, and they'll do all different kinds of things with filters and textures and color.
Right.
Color options, and it's no longer a photograph at that point.
It becomes something else.
Yeah, it's another art form, and so I'm in competitions and things, I'm starting to see categories for digital manipulation.
That's nice.
Which I appreciate.
Right,
because
right.
In that respect, I tend to want to be more of a purist and mm-hmm. do most of my... I want to take as natural a photograph as I can take.
Right, right.
And if I tweak anything, it might be a little color here and there. Mm. But other than that, what you see is what I see in the camera.
So, right. It's something, I guess, when it's a competition and they're presenting awards that judges probably really need to start taking into account is the unmanipulated photograph as opposed to manipulated photographs. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not against using the manipulation.
Right.
I just want
right.
it recognized for the mm-hmm. category it belongs in.
Right.
And
right.
if I try to take a leaf on a tree mm-hmm. and someone else takes a leaf on a tree and puts a bird on the branch,
right.
well, that's a whole different mm-hmm. whole different setting and a whole different
right.
end result.
So talk about your artistic philosophy.
My philosophy is exactly what you said earlier. It's simple. It's I take pictures of ordinary things, things that we see every day, and my goal is to cause you to see them in a different way. So it might be the same old flower that you pass, and if I can take the picture in such a way that you suddenly see that flower differently, and then you can no longer walk past that flower without mm-hmm. thinking of my image or thinking of the particular emotion or feeling that my image may have evoked, then I have succeeded. That's my goal as a photographer. So unlike some who are, you know, big studio kinds of operations or those who like to make political statements, there's a place for all of that, mm-hmm. but insofar as my vision, it's those simple things which are the most profound.
Hmm. So how do you tap into your artistic self?
It's very much a personal journey. And my whole philosophy is that there is an inner artist in everyone.
Hmm.
The problem is our society as a whole has not really valued that part. Julia Cameron, she's written The Artist Way and a number of other books, one of my all-time favorites. She talks about the logic brain and the artist brain. And our society has certainly fostered the logic brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I can think of any number of, I hate to put it in this context of gender, but, you know, men who want their sons to grow up and be sports heroes as opposed to dancers and painters.
Mm-hmm. Or just realistic. You know, you'll never make a living that way. You'll
absolutely.
You'll never be able to make a living that way.
Absolutely. And the artist, walking through the world as an artist means you live in this sort of netherworld of imagination and fantasy
mm-hmm.
and abstract and ambiguity, and in a world that we're gradually changing, thank goodness, but in a world that has been used to what is real is only what can be addressed by the five senses.
Hmm.
The artist has often had trouble because they don't work in that realm. That's not their way of relating to the things around them. So the artist is one who listens to that inner voice, that creativity, the passion, all of those things that are sort of hard to tap, hard to really put into concrete terms, and it's a very internal process.
Hmm. So did you come to the artist's way as an artist, or did it help you become unblocked? Because this whole sort of idea behind the artist's way is that it's sort of a recovery program for artists who are blocked, or to help people find the artist within that they always have sort of felt was hidden. Or
mm-hmm. It's twofold. For me, it wasn't so much unblocking as it was affirming.
Hmm.
Like, I am not mm-hmm. strange for thinking this
right.
way. It's a matter, and there's a self-acceptance part of it. If you've been programmed, you know, I grew up in the Midwest, so there's a whole Protestant ethic, that Midwest Protestant ethic of you go to work and you earn a living and you have your house, and there are just certain ways the world operates.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole way of being has never fit well into that mold.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people, you know, ride roughly on that fence where they have these impulses and these passions and
right.
these visions that come to them, but even they will tend to suppress them
right.
because it's not practical.
Because there's no such thing as a child who isn't creative.
Of course.
It slowly diminishes, right? But, you know, every 2-3-year-old, 4-year-old is creative.
Sure.
Storytelling, doing painting, sculpting.
Yeah, and think about the time when your mom or your dad said it's okay to have that imaginary friend, but
right.
then pretty soon that was mm-hmm. was no longer good.
Time to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's not real.
Right.
Well, the paradox of the whole thing is all of that imagination stuff is what's real.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else is a construct.
Mm.
And everything else is all a matter of what we're programmed to see and what we think we want to see.
Right. So talk about growing up in the Midwest and what brought you to California. And
I grew up in the country in the Midwest, and that really served me well because we were part of a small cluster of houses, but mostly I had open fields to play in. And what a joy that was. I mean, even then I could go off and roam the woods or roam the fields or
wow.
play along the ditches or ride my bike, and that just helped foster my
right.
imagination, as opposed to other places where, you know, it was more of that concrete jungle or
right.
a suburban neighborhood where the playtime was, again, constructed into after-school activities. Or
restricted and constructed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a good thing for me in a lot of ways because it gave me the opportunity and the challenge to foster my imagination.
Hmm.
And then it got to a point in the mid-80s where that part of myself that really wanted to pay attention to those inner urges, my needs were no longer being met socially, spiritually.
Hmm.
And like most of us, you know, you kind of go through a few little periods of crisis where you finally say, I've got to do something different.
Right.
And that's what propelled me west.
Yeah.
Oh. And that really opened up doors I never expected.
Wow. So did you feel you had to come out as an artist as you came out as a lesbian? Did you feel that sort of ground-shaking shift?
For me, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
And it's been both a personal process and a spiritual process to accept and to actually wear the label of artist.
Hmm.
Because there's all those inner questions like, can I really declare myself an artist?
Right.
What makes me an artist versus somebody else?
Makes me dare to think that I can call myself an artist.
Absolutely.
Wow. So talk about that transition from sort of the working world to thinking of yourself, this is my passion, this is what I'm following from this point on.
Well, it's a compulsion. It's been a journey, and it's been hard to, in a way, deprogram my one way of thinking that I had to have an 8-to-5 job, and I had to have so much income, and I had to keep up with the Joneses in terms of my material possessions and all of my professional accomplishments.
Right.
And to allow myself the freedom to say it's okay that I don't have some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay that I now follow this path that it has no guarantee, nor does it have a direction. And I do have permission, and I have to give myself permission to carve my own path, to make my own road. And hopefully I can be a success at that. And it's not even a success in terms of awards or recognition. It's a matter of being comfortable with yourself and walking in the world, feeling safe and secure in your own identity.
Mm-hmm. So where are some of your favorite places to shoot photographs?
pretty much anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in a paradise of camera opportunities here. But I can spend a half hour in my backyard and come out with 300 images if it's the right time and the right setting and the right inspiration.
Inspiration, right.
So I try to not want to do too much in the way of vineyard shots and winery shots and things because so many people do those. And yet, I have thousands of pictures of the vineyards. But it's the light. It's not the vineyards themselves. It's the light play. Mm-hmm. Sonoma County has a fantastic atmosphere of light.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these days when the skies are sparkling and the sun is brilliant, it takes your breath away because we live in this paradise of color and inspiration in lots of ways.
Mm-hmm. So talk about your Random Acts of Muse series.
Random Acts of Muse is a series of images and words that I've put together. And it's random. So I may take a particular image of kids playing on the beach, and somehow that will inspire me. It's not that I set down to write something that's relevant to the image. It's that the image will more or less speak itself and will say, this is what I'm about. And I just simply put words to that. I use a template, and it is in a format where I can put it into cards or I can put it into posters. And my whole goal is to be kind of inspirational, motivational, pleasant, philosophical, all of those things that if I hand you a card, it's because it's a special treasure, and it's all of mine. It's me writing. It's me taking the image.
Nice.
And it's a gift because it's personal. And that's the whole point. It's not a card I bought off a rack.
This is
something that came from someplace within.
Nice. So do you have some shows coming up?
Nothing right now. I've been through the transition of my mother's passing, and we just recently moved back to Windsor. So things are just settling down to the point that I can start to think a little bit more about the art and less about just the logistics of living.
Sure. So, but you're involved with the Windsor Arts Council. You'll soon be the president. Talk about your work with the council up to this point.
The Windsor Arts Council is a kind of a little known secret. It's one of my goals as the new president now for the term 2011 and 12 is to really try to create a sense of self in terms of the art community in Windsor. So we're also a group in transition, and I'm really excited about the people I'm working with as my new board members. All of us have some common visions about elevating art in the community of Windsor and getting us on the same par as Sebastopol and Petaluma and some of the other outlying communities that have actually done some things with the talent that's in their locale.
Beautiful. So what advice would you offer other budding photographers or those who are considering a creative life?
The creative life. The photography or the painting or the sculpting or whatever it is just the tool. The greater picture of the art is your own personal process, and it's all so subjective and it's so individual. Support certainly helps. So if you want to join a group, a local art group of some kind, do, because there are resources to be had. And if you're looking for certain supplies, inevitably there's someone else who knows where to find them. If you feel like you're all alone in your little particular artistic vision, you'll find you're not. You'll find that there are others who share your process, who have the ability to be able to support you in your journey. Because creativity is all about a journey, and it's about integrating all those parts inside yourself. So get out there. It's a very solitary thing sometimes, but use your social resources. Internet is fantastic for, you know, just looking up information and getting a bit of a handle on what it is you're trying to find out. But people and the people who are doing what you want to do are major, major players in your game of finding out who you are as an artist and developing your passions and giving yourself permission to do so.
That's beautiful. So. Thank you, Michaela, for joining us. We appreciate it, and much success in the coming year.
Thank you, Gary.
And happy holidays.
Same to you.
Searching the shopping mall for a gift for that person who already has everything? Hi, this is Outbeat Radio host Greg Moralia, and I've got the perfect gift idea for you. Join Outbeat Radio's Season of Giving program and make a donation in the name of that special someone to a deserving nonprofit organization. It's the perfect gift that gives so much more. Tell us about your donation, and Jeff Basham and I will read your holiday greeting on the air during Outbeat Now at 8 p.m. on Sunday, December 26th. All you have to do is go to the Outbeat Radio website at www.outbeatradio.com and fill out the form. You won't have to fight for a parking place or wait in a single line, I promise. It's Outbeat Radio's Season of Giving, only here on KRCB-FM Santa Rosa.
That was Tracy Chapman with O Holy Night from A Very Special Christmas. We would like to thank tonight's guests, Alan Chivins and Michaela Kennan. Thank you for tuning into Outbeat Radio. Mark Prell and I will return Sunday, January 16th for another edition of Outbeat Collage. We'll be joined by theatrical director Brian Bryson and cast members of his two shows, Bully, which is now in rehearsals, and Prop 8 Love Stories, which is headed to New York this summer for an off-Broadway run. Greg, what's up next week on Outbeat Now?
Well, of course, it's going to be our Christmas show, but we're going to have a studio full of guests. We're really excited to be talking with Miguel Rulas from Community Foundation Sonoma County. He's going to be here to talk about all the benefits of making an end-of-the-year tax-deductible donation to the many nonprofits here in Sonoma County. And then on Outbeat Youth, I'm going to have some students from Maria Carrillo High School and Montgomery High School, both representing their gay-straight alliances here, to talk about what they're up to this school year. And we'll get a report from Max Phillips, who's with the GSA Network, to talk about this month's YES Conference. They had over 450 kids attend the conference. So we're really excited, and we're looking forward to that. And of course, we'll also have the sounds of the season from some of our favorite LGBT artists.
Great. Sounds like a great show. We want to wish everyone a happy holidays and a happy new year. We leave you with one last song, one that has special meaning for this Chicago boy. Here is Tom Gross with Christmas Chicago Time.
Kitchen lights, family fights, and when it's time, oh, we will greet the night. In one room over, the laughter starts. I'll never outgrow the kiddie table in my heart, because it is Christmas Chicago time. The Italian in my bones has got me brimming with the more, cause it's Christmas Chicago time. And though the winter wind she bites, it's on the inside, summer shines, and so we peel it back in our deepest past. We all share them, so we got the last laugh. And all the
support for Outbeat Radio and KRCB-FM comes from members and from PFLAG, the North Bay chapter of parents, family, and friends of lesbians, gays, transgender, and intersex persons. The Santa Rosa support group meets at 7:30 p.m. on the fourth Monday of the month at 312 Chin Street. Information about support group meetings in Napa, Marin, or Mendocino counties is available at 1-866-350-2462, or you can find them on the web at pflag-nb.org. It's just before 9 p.m. You're listening to KRCB-FM Santa Rosa, community-powered radio. Stay with us. New Dimensions is next.
And the cob's well enough time, the pain has passed. Wait till next year. It's gonna be a good one.